Welcome back, everyone, to this week's episode. As the title suggests, we are back with Dr. Amelia this week, and we are talking all things adenomyosis, which is very close to my heart, as it is what I have been diagnosed with this year. So I was really interested for this conversation. It's, as you'll see, a very short episode. I think it's going to be under 20 minutes, so it's a nice short one. Jam-packed of information. Reality is, there's a lack of research in the world of adenomyosis, so there isn't a lot to talk about when we're having this type of conversation, which is why it's shorter. But also, we recorded all three episodes with Dr. Amelia in a row, so she was getting a bit tired, and understandably by this stage. So that's why it's a bit shorter. Yeah, it's a really interesting episode talking about what it is. She explains it really well. How you may end up with it. It impacts fertility. And then we have a little conversation around how it impacts miscarriages. So if that's something that you don't want to listen to, that's just a bit of a warning. But yeah, it's a really good jam-packed short episode full of lots of information. And if you've really enjoyed these episodes with Dr. Amelia, please let me know. Message me on Instagram or send an email. If there's a topic that you'd like her to talk about, then please raise it with me. I have a few ideas for what we could talk about next season, but yeah, I want to hear what you guys want to hear from a doctor. All right, let's get into the episode. Enjoy. All right, well, hello, Amelia, and thank you very much for joining me today. If you could first give us a rundown on who you are, what you do, what your qualifications are, and what you're currently doing practice-wise.
Yeah, awesome. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Jasmine. So my name's Amelia Ryan. I'm a gynecologist and obstetrician based in Auckland. I work in a public capacity at Te Whatu Ora Waitematā, which is at North Shore Hospital in Auckland, and I have a private practice at Fertility Associates in the Auckland branch as well in Green Lane, where I do both a little bit of fertility work and private gynecology practice. My qualifications are I have a medical degree from the University of Otago, and I did a postgraduate diploma in obstetrics and medical gynecology as well many years ago. And then I went on to do my specialty training in obstetrics and gynecology in Melbourne, at a big hospital there called the Royal Women's Hospital. And I did some advanced training, my fellowship in the management of high-risk pregnancy, and also in my absolute passion, which is the management of pelvic pain for women both with endometriosis and without. So that includes the surgical management of that disease, and also the sort of more holistic, more sort of complex and long-term management of pain.
Wow, a lot of study, and obviously shows your passion for women's health
Yeah.
in general, which I love. Let's talk about, I pronounce adenomyosis. What is the correct way? Adenomyosis or
Added
adenomyosis?
good. Yep. And you can shorten it to adeno for our sake.
Oh, okay. So, what is it, and who does it affect?
So adeno is a nasty sister to endometriosis, and it affects, we don't really know the full proportion of women who are affected by adenomyosis, but probably a similar amount of people to endometriosis, so around that 1 in 10 mark. The best way to describe it is to describe what normally happens in your cycle and then how adeno affects it. So when your body in the normal part of your cycle, you release estrogen, which causes the lining of your womb to thicken up and become this kind of plush, pillowy space for a pregnancy to implant. Then at the end of your cycle, when your body realizes that you're not pregnant, your hormone levels drop. And in the response to those hormone levels dropping, the lining peels off the underlying muscle layer in the uterus, a little bit like if you got sunburnt when you were a kid and your skin peels, it sort of peels off in that way, leaving behind the underlying skin. And some women will actually see sort of sheds of endometrium within their period blood, if they use a pad or whatever, within that bleeding process. The underlying muscle layer has blood vessels coming through it. Those blood vessels bleed, and that blood washes the lining, the peels of lining out through the cervix and into the vagina, and that's what your period is. So in adeno, the surface, so when I was describing the sort of sun-peeled skin peeling off the underlying smooth skin is not smooth, and instead it's got these burrows or furrows within it where the lining, when you peel off your sunburnt skin, it leaves bits of the skin within the deep muscle layer. And because that stays in there, it releases toxic chemicals within the muscle and creates this really inflamed environment, leading to most commonly issues with really heavy bleeding and painful bleeding.
So are they the main symptoms that you'll see people present with?
Most commonly. Sometimes you could get generalized pelvic pain or pain with sex, and some issues with falling pregnant, but primarily the sort of textbook symptom that brings you to see the GP would be heavy bleeding and painful bleeding.
How does it get diagnosed?
Two ways. Gold standard would be to remove your uterus and have a look at it under a microscope at the time of the hysterectomy, which obviously we're not going to do in the vast majority of cases. And so these days, ultrasound is quite effective at detecting it. That would be the most common way.
And how is it managed? I understand there is no cure for it.
No cure in that you can't go and remove it like you can with endo. So with endo, you can go and do surgery and remove the deposits of endometriosis, leaving behind all of the normal structures. But with adeno, because it's within the wall of the uterus, you can't remove. The only way to do that would be to remove the uterus as a whole. And so for women who have adeno, who've completed their family and don't need to retain their fertility, a hysterectomy is a very reasonable treatment option. But unless that's the plan, then usually it's conservatively with hormones to suppress the disease process, much like with the endometriosis in the same time. And they often coexist. So they are treated with hormones through the same pathway.
Yeah, I did see some stat, and it was just on Google when my researching, that 70% of people that have adeno likely have endo.
Yeah.
I don't know what if that's accurate or not.
Yeah, it would be, I actually off the top of my head can't think of the figure, but it would be in that realm. Yeah.
Yeah. How can it impact fertility?
Well, if you have these deposits within the muscle lining and the muscle is really inflamed as a result of those cells being there, that inflammation, like I've talked about before, but creates a toxic environment for a pregnancy. So usually you still ovulate, usually the sperm and the egg can meet, but there won't be a successful implantation, or there might be a biochemical pregnancy and then that will not continue to thrive. So lower fertility rate, lower pregnancy rate, and it can actually be a little bit tricky to manage in the context of fertility treatment as well, because you're really trying to turn off that inflammation where estrogen is a pro-inflammatory hormone and also happens to be a hormone that is either given or produced in the process of fertility treatment, so it can kind of rev up your adeno rather than revving it down. That being said, sorry to interrupt, Jasmine, but most women with adeno, again like endo, will conceive without any issues.
I did a bit of research, so this is what I've been diagnosed with recently. When I had an MRI for my other health issue, this is what was I was diagnosed with from that MRI. Makes complete sense. I have had heavy periods since my first period. I have very clotty periods. It impacts me immensely, actually. Being on the pill for over 10 years did help my symptoms, but I would have a lot of breakthrough bleeding, suspected polyp where they didn't find a polyp, that type of, you know, they just found a clump of things in my uterus, that type of thing. In my research that I did personally once I got the diagnosis, I've seen a lot of talk about a belief from, I guess, previous research that it's a disease or condition that is kind of brought on later in life, like it might be brought on by a DNC or a pregnancy. And there seemed to be a bit of talk about it not being necessarily common from a young age. What does the
Yeah,
research say about that?
that's true. It could, I suppose, in theory, be created through a pregnancy or a DNC because that impacts on the interface between the muscle and the lining of the womb. So when you have a DNC, the lining of the womb is scraped away and the muscle layer is left exposed. And so potentially, in response to that surgical treatment, when the new, next lining forms, there might have been disruption to that junctional zone between the two anatomical places, and that lining can then invade more deeply into the muscle. So, yes, there definitely would be a link. And the same with pregnancy in a way, because it could be in response to having a cesarean section, or even just with a just regardless of your birth type, having a placenta invade deeply into your muscle, and then you get your new lining of the womb whenever your period recurs. It's just a change. So yes, typically adenomyosis causes symptomatic problems. I would say just anecdotally, in women later in their life, you often after pregnancy, after they've had their babies, typically women in their 40s, as they approach perimenopause, as their hormonal environment changes, adeno rears its head. But it is possible and often and actually likely that those problems have been present. The adeno itself has been present for many years, but it just hasn't necessarily caused problems. So it's not so much, I think, that the disease develops later in life, but probably that it manifests later in life.
And I guess like we talked about with endo, it can be brushed off as normal period symptoms from a
Absolutely.
young age. And I know I personally experienced that. And I was put on the pill quite young to manage my heavy bleeding, but there was never an investigation into why. And still to this day, I hadn't had an investigation. I was starting to suspect endo or like there's something still not quite right. But yeah, I guess it's hard to explain a heavy period because it's all you know, unless it changes after having a
Yeah,
baby.
heavy periods are heavy and particularly painful periods are often quite common in adolescence within what we would consider to be the normal phase of developing a regular menstrual cycle. So, particularly if your periods are irregular in the first sort of 4 to 8 years after you get your first period, if you have an irregular cycle that's prolonged, your period is usually going to be heavier and more painful as a result of that. So it is just a bit tricky sometimes. I think it's important to keep these things in the back of our mind, but going on the pill at an early age is actually sometimes a really good thing because it treats a lot of these conditions that could otherwise cause a major issue and sometimes have impact on your fertility later in life if they're not suppressed properly.
Again, personally, going through fertility treatment, I had noticed that it was getting worse through doing a couple of years of acupuncture. I've been able to manage my PMS symptoms really well. The only thing I hadn't been able to, I guess, change was my heavy bleeding, but my pain was coming back with a vengeance. So, in my mind, it makes complete sense that all this estrogen and hormones that I've been on has kind of growing it, or I hope that makes sense.
I think as a condition, it was something that we used to just historically diagnose when women had hysterectomies, like 30 years ago. But as ultrasound has become increasingly high spec and accurate, we're able to diagnose it a lot more. And the skill of our doctors who do high level ultrasound has become really high. We can see it. And also, access to MRI, which is you mentioned before, and is another way that adeno can be detected. I mean, MRIs weren't available widely, and now a lot of people will be having an MRI in the workup for other things. So we're just more able to detect it, and as we're able to detect it more, we're able to learn more about it. But I do kind of feel it was a little bit like one of those women's health issues. I certainly barely remember learning anything about it at med school, and which was a while ago now, but even in that 15 years, I think a lot has changed as a result of us. It's become much more a focus of interest than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, that was kind of one of my questions. Is there current research being done, or is there more understanding coming with Adeno?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to a conference in Edinburgh in 4 weeks, which is the World Congress on Endometriosis, and there's a whole day on adeno, which is not endo, but they, the research is often performed together.
Yeah, a lot of what I've seen is that's called Endo's ugly cousin. So they kind of go hand in hand. Is there, you kind of alluded to it before, and it was a question come through, is there a connection between adeno and miscarriage?
So I think the role that adeno would play in terms of your risk of miscarriage, it would be potentially slightly increased in that you've got this really inflamed environment. So you might have an implantation of a fertilized egg, but it's not going to be able to thrive and undergo the usual vascular changes in an early pregnancy because of that inflammation. But I would usually see the impact of that being at a very, very early stages of a pregnancy, as opposed to a 8, 9, 10 week miscarriage as a result of adeno.
Yeah, it makes sense to me, and I my non-medical brain kind of visualizes it as there's some lumpier, uglier parts of the uterus, but some might still be okay. And if it implants in the okay part, is it more likely to be a successful pregnancy?
Absolutely. And there is a concept called an adenomyoma, which is like a focused area of adenomyosis within a uterus, which looks a bit like a cyst or a fibroid. So that if you get an implantation directly over that adenomyoma, absolutely that pregnancy is not going to be as well supplied with blood and all sorts of things as elsewhere. But I don't think the presence of generalized adeno, it will impact on getting pregnant, but not so much on a risk of miscarriage, except for in that very early stage.
That's a good one to have a discussion about. A couple of questions come through specifically around miscarriage, and it's one thing that when I did my research, like, hit me in the face, of a higher chance of miscarriage. So it's good to have a conversation around it.
So yes, there is some research that shows that adeno is associated with a higher rate of pregnancy loss. So it impacts both the ability to get pregnant and an increased risk of miscarriage, probably relating to that environment of inflammation that's present in the uterus.
Again, like to say to people here that many people with adeno get pregnant and have successful pregnancies. Again, I just don't want to scare people, but it is good information to know. And I say from the perspective of my husband and I sat there after I got the diagnosis, because we have had a miscarriage from a spontaneous pregnancy at the 9 week mark. And for me, I was like, oh, my body caused this. And we sat there and went, well, if what happens again if we get pregnant and miscarry again, at least it'll still be horrible, but at least we kind of have a reason why. Because we were told at our first miscarriage, the chance of this happening again is, 1% or less. So if it was to happen again and you didn't have a reason, it would be quite hard to manage. So on one side, it's good information to know. It may feel useless because you can't do anything about it, but on the other side, it's still cause, it's still painful and it's still never nice to happen.
Absolutely, but the vast majority, because it is a common condition, the vast, and we've got more understanding of that than we ever have, the vast majority of people who have adeno will conceive a pregnancy and it won't play a massive role in miscarriage. And I think that when it comes to talking about miscarriage, which is a sensitive issue, that it can be quite difficult to pinpoint an exact single cause that's an underlying reason why a pregnancy did not continue. There sometimes is more than one thing, and sometimes we never know. But yeah, I think for something like adeno, it may be a contributing factor as opposed to like a primary reason why, or like the only reason why a miscarriage might have occurred. But yeah.
Yeah, there's so many other things, especially when you get to those later weeks of genetically and things. So
Yeah.
that's a whole other conversation, isn't it?
That is. I could talk time about that. Yeah.
And I'm assuming pain management, It's kind of the same things as we've discussed in the other topics.
Yeah, it's very similar in terms of management to endometriosis, just without that option for conservative surgery where you're not performing a hysterectomy. So suppression of the disease through hormones, it's not just masking the symptoms, it's actually actively treating those deposits within the muscle layer with the anti-inflammatory effect of progesterone, suppress, and as a result, also suppressing your symptoms. So if you've got heavy and painful periods, you can't have a heavy and painful period if you're not getting a period. So sort of a win-win. And then managing your pelvic floor, managing your bowels. Sometimes you need to check for coexistent endometriosis, and then dealing with the pain, sleep, mental health, exercise.
Yeah, I think it's quite a hard thing when you get diagnosed and you see the only cure, I say in quotation marks, is a hysterectomy and you want to have a family. It's a big
Yeah.
call.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to know that that's a treatment option, but it's certainly, there's lots of stuff between
Yeah.
those two, doing nothing and doing a hysterectomy. There's loads of stuff in the middle. So, yeah.
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 Perfect. Okay, it's great to have a conversation around this condition. As we've touched on here, it's not that well known, and I'm really intrigued in what you're going over to Edinburgh to discuss.
Yeah,
It'll
it's
be
exciting.
really interesting
Yeah.
what comes out of that, and it's great to hear that these things are happening and more research is being done. Yeah, cool. Thank you so much.
Awesome.